Bidaya ho bidaya.
Hello, hello, Montreal. Nice to be here. Happy to, Happy to be here with all of you. For those of you tuning in, I think it's important to mention that you're listening to a very important, show right now. This is actually my first time on air, you could probably tell. But it's a pretty big deal because this is actually one of my dreams come true. And, yeah, I'm just really excited to be here right now, really excited to be given a platform for an hour. I don't know who thought it was a good idea. Somehow I convinced somebody to give me a mic for a little bit. So yeah, I'm really excited to be here. In terms of what I really want to talk about throughout the segment, not really sure if this is going to resonate with anybody, but I have lots of opinions about life and my experience moving to Montreal so far. Just for some context, I come from Sudbury, Ontario. Shout out, love this place. And it's about 4 hours north of Toronto. Beautiful, lots of lakes. Actually, there's over like 300 freshwater lakes in Sudbury. Beautiful city. Anyways, that's where I'm from, and I have lived there my whole life up until around July, when I moved to Montreal to start coming to law school. Essentially, I hate law school, and I've had lots of like reflections since moving, and kind of wanted to share some of that with y'all. So here, let's jump into it. Okay, so basically, moving to Montreal has always been sort of a dream of mine. I remember being a kid, hearing about all of the things going on in Montreal, all the people that lived there. Every time I heard about anything, I was thinking like, damn, this is the place I gotta be. There's cool people out there. All the cool people from Sudbury, they all moved to Montreal. It's gotta be for some reason, right? And then every time I would come here for vacations and traveling, I would think like, oh my goodness, there's just something so special about this city. I love it so much. Every time I traveled, I knew that this is where I was supposed to end up. And I think it has to do maybe with the people, the spirit, the community. There's just people here are trying to have fun, and I can tell, and I want to join. That's sort of my stance. So basically, my whole kind of life, I've been thinking, okay, what do I want to do? How do I kill the time? How do I make it through the day? And I figured something nice, like there's something nice about Montreal, seems intriguing to me. Maybe I should look into moving over there, figuring that out. And so I was trying to figure out, how do I move away from home? What can I do to justify moving to this insanely cool city for no reason other than just wanting to, you know, vibe out over there, over here, I guess. And I figured out that it'd be a pretty good idea maybe to be a lawyer. I've always wanted to be a lawyer. I don't really know where it came from, but the story I tell people is that I would always hear about my parents complaining, oh, these lawyers, they don't do anything, and they just, you know, show up, read out some papers, and they make so much money, and they do nothing, and they make their employees do it all, and then they just sign at the bottom of the document, and they make hundreds of dollars. And then I remember sitting there as a kid thinking, I could do that. Like, that sounds really easy, sounds like a good way to make money. And that's what I was telling my parents, and then they were kind of laughing and saying, well, okay, yeah, it's a great job, but I mean, it's a lot of school, you know, maybe you'll like probably give up, and so we'll see. And that kind of bugged me for a while, and I was thinking like, I could definitely be a lawyer. Not that I even wanted to, but I was sort of thinking I could prove them wrong. I'm like, yeah, I could do that, sounds easy. And then I guess when I kind of had that as my vision of, oh, let me be a lawyer, I figured I could be a lawyer. I could go to law school anywhere. Luckily, there's no law school in my city. I don't know if that's lucky, but, you know, I was telling myself, as at least because there's no law school in Sudbury, I'll be forced to move away. And then I was thinking, that's just going to give me an excuse to end up in Montreal. Love it. Anyways, that was sort of my plan. I feel like I had it figured out for a few years. I was thinking, I'm going to move to Montreal. I'm going to be a lawyer. And in the meantime, let's figure out how to kill the time and let's figure out what I need to do to get to that point. So then I was sort of like joining all these clubs in high school, university. I stayed home for university and everything. And all these clubs, all of these activities that I was doing, it was for kind of this bigger purpose of this is going to build up my resume. This is going to make me the perfect applicant for law school. And, you know, I'm going to make like, I'm going to become exactly the student that they want me to be because yeah, that's just my initial purpose in this moment. Because I was, you know, in high school or in university thinking, how do I kill the time? And I guess it was, I'll kill the time waiting to eventually end up going to law school and, you know, build up my resume as much as I could. So essentially in high school, I was in the yearbook committee. I was on the curling team. Curling, because it was like, it's a sport, but it's not the most physically demanding sport. But I figured that... I have no idea what that was. Sorry about that. Okay, sorry. So basically, yeah, I did curling. And then I also did yearbook, and I also did a whole bunch of other stuff that I thought, like, wow, I'm going to be the perfect applicant. They're going to love me. Stuff like, you know, welcoming committee for the grade eights that were coming to my high school. Things like different fundraisers, different volunteering. And then, you know, when I joined university, or when I, yeah, started university, I was thinking, like, I could really do any undergrad I want and then end up going to law school. So what do I like? You know, what brings me passion or interest or whatever? And I figured that for some reason, my grade 10 civics class of all the classes I took in high school was my favorite one. And I, like, I would hear all throughout grade 9 and grade 10, like, oh, shoot, you're going to have to do physics. Civics, it's going to be so boring, you know, but it's just one of those requirements. You just got to get it through. And then I'd find myself like looking forward to that class every time. And I assumed maybe like I just really liked the teacher and he was just really like good at teaching this topic. And I was just really grateful, like, oh, thank God I got Monsieur Piquet, because then I'm so happy that, you know, I actually enjoyed this class. I was able to make it through. So then I think I took like psychology with him the year after. And I realized, no, it's nothing to do with him. For some reason, I happened to find, like, civics interesting. So that was a big shock to me as well. But then I figured, like, let's roll with it. And I decided to do my undergrad in political science and then, you know, play around. I was thinking, what kind of stuff do, like, university students do in first year? So I took gender studies. I took philosophy. I took all types of random classes because I thought there isn't really one right way to get into law school. So let me just follow my passions and follow my interests. And then I'm sure, you know, as long as I get good grades, I'll just get in. And then I think throughout all that time, I was able to really develop and refine what it was that I was actually interested in. And then, you know, I was able to find a lot of self-fulfillment through those things without really noticing that that's what was happening. So then eventually I did get into my dream school. I did, you know, move here. I think I was always sort of feeling like something was gonna, like, I don't know. I felt like the ball was gonna drop. Like there was always gonna be like, I was doing something wrong maybe. Like I felt like I didn't work hard enough to get here. I was having too much fun in the meantime. I don't deserve to be like in the program I wanna be in because, you know, I took the easy way out. I did poli sci. I loved it. It didn't take a lot of effort for me to, you know, get the grades that I needed because it was just something I was very passionate about. All these random clubs that I was doing, they were like so much fun. And then I, you know, finally got here and I had all these ideas that, wow, everything I did, you know, it built me up to be the exact candidate, the perfect student in the program. And there we go. I've got it all set. But yeah, still, there was a little bit of, like, a little part of me that was thinking, something's got to give. Is this too good to be true? You know, I know that I'm not perfect, and maybe I don't deserve this. But yeah, I don't know. I was sort of feeling this weird little turmoil, anxiety, who knows what to call it. But essentially, I kept telling everyone, like, it's too good to be true. I can't believe it. My dreams are happening. It's too good to be true. And then I finally moved here in July, and I was working remotely from, like, I was working at my same job that I was working at home, and I kept doing that while I moved here, and so that was very familiar, and I didn't know anybody in Montreal for the first few months, but I was just spending my summer kind of vibing, going around, exploring the city, and I loved it, and I loved the people, and I was telling my coworkers constantly how happy I was to finally be in Montreal, and how excited I was to start my program and to meet people, and, you know, because I was walking around, and, I mean, I was having a good time in the summer, but to be honest, it is a lot more fun when you actually have friends. Like, I was walking and seeing people having picnics at a little park, and I would take a picture thinking like, yeah, I'm gonna come back here when I actually know people in the city and when I have friends. Not my fault, you know, circumstance and all. But I think all in all, I had a decent summer and I loved being in Montreal until I started school, I think. Like, the first week, I was so excited. I was meeting people, they were all right. I was thinking like, wow, there's actually a lot cooler people in law school than I was expecting, you know? And then things were going well. I was signing up for clubs. I was getting excited about all the opportunities that, you know, the school provided. I was thinking like, wow, yeah, I'm gonna do all these clubs. And then I think out of nowhere, I'm on the bus. It's like Friday morning. I remember it was beautiful, sunny. And I'm sitting on the bus looking out the window, listening to music. And I just start bawling my eyes out. And I'm like, on the bus in front of so many people, and I literally have no reason to be crying. I have no idea what's going on, but I think I like honestly just started crying because I miss my mom, and I'm thinking like, wow, it's so nice and sunny out, and you know, normally on a Friday afternoon or a Friday morning back home, I would have been having a great time. I don't know what I was thinking, but I was just on the bus, started crying, and I was thinking, yeah, I guess this life isn't really like all that I've dreamed of, and essentially, that came as quite a bit of a shock. Basically, I feel like what that little Friday, you know, crying on the bus session was essentially just me, first of all, getting over all of the initial excitement of starting law school, of meeting all these people. And, you know, this happened maybe like a week after regular classes started, and I realized, like, damn, this is shit. This is not good. I don't like this law school at all. You know, you're told all the time, like, yeah, law school's gonna be hard. Oh, good luck. Like, throughout my undergrad when I was preparing to go here. But I don't know why. I just didn't believe it until I was living through it and thought, yeah, this isn't fun. I'll be more specific. Essentially, like, the class is insanely boring. The readings, they're far too much. They go and assign, like, hundreds and hundreds of pages every single week, almost to the point where it's physically impossible to do every single reading, and it becomes hopeless, and it becomes kind of like, if you're giving me this much, you're clearly not expecting me to soak every single detail in. And so you start kind of wondering, like, what is the point of doing any of it? And anyways, there's that. There's just the competitiveness in the atmosphere. There's all of these different expectations. And then to add to that, the fact that, like, it's so insanely boring for the most part when you're reading these cases, and time after time, it's just one rich guy who's going after another rich guy and he wants the money. And sometimes it's, you know, a really, really rich guy versus someone that isn't so rich, and you see the rich person get money. And anyways, I was just seeing, like, time after time, examples of the law, you know, first of all, like, continuing to side with whoever's in power, continuing to side with, you know, the people oppressing most. Anyways, I could go deeper into that, but that's not the point of today. My point is just to say that, like, eventually, when I first got to law school, very excited, started crying and was wondering, like, why am I doing this? Should I not be happy? Have I not, you know, accomplished all of my goals? And then I was trying to tell myself that, you know, you're just crying because you're in a transition period, you know, you're just waiting to make some friends and then things will get better. And that wasn't necessarily the case. Like, I had friends, there was people I was sitting with in class. I wasn't fully alone, but I didn't feel like I was close to these people yet. I didn't feel like I knew them. I, you know, felt so far away from my family, far away from everybody that cared how I was doing. Also, I lived by myself. I don't know that I necessarily recommend this for somebody moving to a new city completely by themselves, because it was quite tough, you know, every single night coming home after having like such a long day at school. And then you get home and normally I'd have my mom sort of as like my biggest cheerleader, asking me about my day, patting me on the back, telling me good night, telling me I did great. But yeah, I just got home and there was nobody around. And I think I let that definitely get to me. There was the loneliness from like law school, but there was also just feeling like nobody there necessarily understood me. It felt a little bit like nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. I think, you know, the deeper feeling of being lonely. No, sorry. Oh my God. I'm looking at my list now of what I want to say and I'm realizing I got all mixed up. But essentially, yeah, I think it was just a really bitter pill to swallow when I realized that all of this work that I had done throughout high school, throughout university, all of this time where I thought, you know, I have this purpose, I have this goal. My goal is to go to Montreal to live in this awesome city and to study law. I don't really even know why I picked law of all things, but just, yeah, go to Montreal, study at my dream school and kick butt at life. I don't know why I was just set on that for so long. And then finally, when I achieved sort of what I had always been dreaming of, and I was on the bus and I was like, okay, here we go, I'm doing what I've been dreaming of, I realized this sucks. I hate this. And I think what it is that I hate about law school, you know, the waking up super, super early, having so many things to do all throughout the day, all these readings that you don't feel are necessary, these classes where you've got these like super old professors that are just trying to defend the systems that have continued to oppress all of these people. And essentially, I'm just seeing that and feeling disgusted and wondering, like, what is my purpose here in this school? Why am I, you know, studying something I hate, or, you know, living in a world with all these systems that I disagree with? What is the point, essentially, if this sucks? And I was thinking, like, I was trying so hard to go to law school and to live this perfect life in Montreal. And then I figured, I hate being in law school. I don't know that I'll actually enjoy practicing law if I'm so miserable studying it. And I definitely at that moment was feeling like very hopeless, very unmotivated. And that lasted for sure a few months all throughout like last semester. Just definitely like there were definitely some highlights. There were definitely some good times throughout the last semester. And it's not to say that I didn't, you know, enjoy some time with my friends and all of that. But what I think I didn't realize was how deeply I had fallen into this sort of depression, unmotivated environment where I was essentially just losing all motivation. I figured, you know, I work so hard to get here. I hate it every single day. But hey, you know, I'm just going to get through it. I'm just going to get my degree and I'm just going to, who knows, start going, like, go back home and work and, you know, make a living. And there we go. That's life, I guess. And that really, I don't know, it was hard for me to accept that I would just have to like go through the motions and finish law school, even though I hated it, so that, you know, maybe one day I'll move back home and things will get better. And I remember telling like almost anybody who would listen, like, oh, how do you like law school? I would say, I hate it. I can't wait to move back home. This sucks. And I would say, it's just really not what I was expecting. I'm really disappointed in my experience and blah, blah, blah. Woe is me. I was just, you know, so annoying to listen to, and just really feeling like, yeah, like just, I was just pitying myself a lot, and I was not really looking around and being grateful for what it was that I had. Essentially, I was telling every single person, like, I'm just gonna live, you know, I'm just gonna make it through, and then I'll be happy when I finally move back to Sudbury. And I was telling everybody how beautiful the city was, how much I loved it. That's still true, but like, I know that I was definitely romanticizing what life was like in Sudbury. And I remember being so miserable in Sudbury, telling myself that all of that misery would be better once I got here. And so I was sort of sitting in this in-between state where I'm like, I remember living in Sudbury, I remember telling myself that things would be better when I moved to Montreal, and now I'm here. And I'm telling myself the exact same thing to say that things will be better when I move back to Sudbury. Like, that just doesn't make sense. Why am I thinking that? And so I spent a lot of time wondering, why do I think this way? Why am I continuing to, you know, escape or to have this dream where instead of looking around at my present life and thinking, how can I make right now better? I'm just pushing it off and thinking, it is what it is. I just have to make it through. And then I'll go back home and I'll be a lawyer. And yeah, maybe then things will get better. And I just, you know, wouldn't think about it that much. But like I said, these past few months, I was like more depressed than I've ever been. I would find myself like not even enjoying spending time with my friends and just wanting to go home and just escape and go home and distract myself, you know, watching a bunch of TV, pigging out on food, all these different things that people do to kind of cope. I was just doing that and I was feeling extra guilty about that. I was feeling guilty about not making the most of my experience. It was just a bad situation all in all. And then finally I started deciding like I need to take agency for like in my own present. I need to reach out to my friends a little bit more. I need to, you know, join these clubs. It's kind of how I started here at the radio. I was like, you know, I've always wanted to, you know, be on radio and play my songs and just vibe at this cool like college station. And now that I'm here, you know, there isn't necessarily a reason to do this. It's not like it's going to contribute towards my legal education in any way, but it is a different dream that I was always dreaming about. So I thought maybe I should just pursue some of my other random dreams, some of my things that don't have anything to do with law school, because I know that I'm miserable in law school. And then maybe I'll find the answers through those different things. And I feel like that's kind of what happened. So, like, I joined some reading groups. I started, you know, going out with my friends a little bit more often, leaving my house. That was nice. Oh, I got a cat, which was also really nice. That made being at home a little bit less lonely. I think it was just, I was trying to find ways to kind of distract myself and cope, even though I figured out that law school was just not for me. The problem, though, was that by doing all of those things and distracting myself constantly, I wasn't fully like engaging in my program the way that I wish I would have been. And that was coming with its own problems of guilt, where I was thinking, like, gosh, you could be such a better student. You have been a better student in the past. What's wrong? What can you do like differently? I knew I wasn't enjoying myself right now. Oh, yeah, another thing that was just like frustrating me was just that the only people I noticed who were enjoying themselves seemed to be people who, you know, were wearing blinders. Like, I'm talking about people in my program. The only people in my program who seemed to actually not hate their experience in law school were people who, like, just kind of look down, don't question things, and actually, like, loved these oppressive systems because it benefited them. And, you know, they're going to sit there and defend it and not question it too much. And they all seem so happy. And then I would sit there in class just hating my class, not hating, you know, resenting my classmates, thinking, like, why are you so happy? What can I do to be happy like that? And how do you, like, why do you enjoy this program? Judging them for, you know, defending all these systems. I was just, yeah, full of resentment. And then, it made me think a lot about, do I belong here? Did I make the right choice moving to Montreal? Did I make the right choice choosing to go to law school? Who am I, you know? I was having all these big thoughts. And then, I was wondering too, am I smart enough to be here? Am I dedicated enough? Like, back home, I had my mom who would cook, or, you know, my parents would cook and clean and take care of me and answer every single need. And then all I was like, you know, I had all of the freedom to explore and put all my attention into school and get the best grades possible. But now I'm living here and I'm having to cook for myself, having to clean for myself, having to do all of these things and realizing, like, wow, life is hard. And I realize I'm definitely not the first person in the world to say this or to feel this way. And I also don't think I'm the only person in the world who, you know, there's definitely some whose lives are much harder. But this was still a big shock to me when I finally moved out of my house. And I finally had this freedom that I kept dreaming about back when I was living at home, thinking it's my parents, you know, it's life in Setbrae. It's all of these people I went to high school with. It's the small town mentality. I need to get out and be myself, and I need to explore. And then I got here and I realized how difficult it is to actually do that when you don't have a car and you have to walk everywhere to all of these stores, and you have to figure out a way to make ends meet while you explore and do all of these things. And I realized, like, you know what? It's really not as easy as I thought it was back in my head when I imagined living in Montreal. And I think also part of what I was focusing on a lot last semester was that, how come I'm not happy? How come, you know, I'm living the dream and I'm still sad? And I started thinking, well, that's because you're not really fully living the dream. You know, in your dream, you had a nicer apartment, or in your dream, you had this perfect looking, beautiful boyfriend, or in your dream, you had this like amazing, beautiful social circle. And I mean, that I do have, but I just mean that, like, I was thinking about all of these things that I still didn't have, and I was making myself so unhappy by focusing on that, as well as focusing on all of the things that I'm having difficulty doing now that I don't have, like, my mom taking care of everything that I had to do before. So essentially, I was just, in a very dark place, looking for a lot of distractions and feeling, again, guilty that I wasn't making the most of my experience. And I was in that kind of state for a long time, and I was not really sure when I would come out of the other end. I was terrified of going back to Montreal when I came home for Christmas, because I was so sad. And this was, again, after exams and everything, and I was so just exhausted and tired of my life. And I finally went back home, and I was able to fully relax and just enjoy the time with my family. And I kept saying, like, you know what, this is what really matters, family and the people that you love. And so that's when I started telling myself, I think I'm going to come back here as soon as I'm done school, because I hate school and I love this and I want this again. And then I, you know, went back to Montreal after Christmas, and I just started telling everybody that would listen, like, yeah, I'm going to go back to Setbrae. I need to be with my family. You know, life is just really hard over here. And I remember saying this to, like, somebody I had never met before in my life. And again, I'm embarrassed. I was just saying this to everybody that would listen, but I'm kind of glad I did, because when I said it to this particular person, I was saying, like, oh yeah, I'm not trying to establish a life here, you know, like, I can't wait to move back home as soon as I'm done here. And then that person looked at me and they were like, what's different about back home? And I explained, well, my family's there and I just love my community and blah blah blah. I was just really trying to make stuff up. And then they were like, well, yeah, your mom's there, your family's there, like, that's great, but also it's gonna be the same, like, it's gonna be the same messed up world, it's gonna be the same systems that you're pissed off at, it's just you'll be in Setbrae rather than in Montreal, but you'll still have to, you know, get up every single day at the exact same time before the sun comes up, set an alarm, go to a job that you don't really love, that you understand might be creating harm to people. This is back when I still thought I wanted to be a lawyer. But they were saying, you know, yeah, you're going to go back home thinking that that's your solution, but that's not the solution. Oh, that makes me think, actually, of, I watched, you know, like, Trixie Mattel and Katya, these two drag queens. They have this show on YouTube, and I don't even remember. Actually, I think this episode was something called Moving or Relocating or Changing Cities, or the topic essentially was just people who move towns. And one of the jokes that they were making was just how you always hear people like, oh, I'm gonna go to Paris and find myself, or, you know, I guess a lot of people say Montreal, or I'm gonna go to Montreal and I'll find myself. And again, I was definitely on that boat, and I was thinking, like, let's go, I'm gonna go to Montreal and I'm gonna find myself, like everybody says that they find themselves here, you know, let's do it. And then I got here and I was like, yeah, no, this sucks, I don't like this law school, I don't like this world that we're living in, everything's too difficult. Sorry, the Trixie and Katya joke is something like, wherever you go, there you are. And I sat there and I was like, that is so true. Wherever you go, all of these issues, all of this, like, depression, anxiety, you know, ADHD, whatever, all of these things that you're kind of struggling with, they're not just going to change in a new city with the new environment. If anything, it's going to get worse, because you're going to not have your social support. And, you know, that might be very that might be good for your personal development and whatnot. It might be necessary, but I just think that that's important to keep in mind, is that you're not going to escape your issues. You'll just have a new like playground to kind of work through those issues. And I still, like, even though I hated my life last semester, I never hated Montreal, because, I mean, coolest city ever. And I was also just kind of kicking myself in the butt, because I still knew it was the coolest city ever. And it was more like, it's my fault for not taking advantage of the city as much as I could have been. And so in the first month when I was back from my Christmas break, I was sort of on that boat of like, while I'm here, yeah, I hate it, but I might as well make the most of it while I'm here. You know, spend time with my like friends, call my loved ones, make it through the day. But eventually I sort of started noticing that that's not enough, and that wasn't doing it for me, because when I was continuing to sort of like push through, make it to law school, make it through my day to day, there was still like this huge underlying issue of, what is my purpose in life? What is this all for? Like, yes, life is difficult. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to get up every single day before the sun comes up. It takes a lot of work to, you know, keep your house or your apartment perfectly clean. It takes a lot of work to keep so much food in the fridge and to eat all the food before it gets like bad, and to not waste money and to not waste food. It takes a lot of effort to keep your apartment clean, to clean your bathroom and change your sheets and to do all of these things. And I was sort of like sitting in this sort of self-deprecating mindset where I was beating myself up for thinking that those things were hard, and I was mad at myself for struggling with those things, and I was telling myself, like, why aren't you better? Why isn't this stuff coming more naturally to you? What's wrong with you that this is hard? And I think I was sitting in that mindset for so long that when I didn't want to address that, I would distract myself, and it would just make all of the issues 10 times worse. And then eventually I started realizing that not all of that responsibility falls on my shoulder. Like, I don't know who needs to hear this. I needed to hear this. And basically, you're not lazy if you think life is hard. You're not lazy if you're tired at the end of the day because you've been, you know, tending to your obligations all day. Like, there are, like, it is not easy for people to make ends meet anymore. It's not easy for people to accomplish all of their goals, or even to just answer all of their material needs. Things are getting harder and harder just based off of the world we're living off, based off of these systems that just exist to make the rich more money. And I just think that so much of the depression, so much of the self-deprecating feelings I was, you know, all of the negative thoughts I was feeling, all of these things, or a lot of them, I still think kind of all, come from instead this guilt that I'm not good enough, this guilt or this fear that maybe one day I won't be good enough, or, you know, I'm, you know, not doing enough readings, I'm not keeping my apartment clean enough, I must, like, because I'm not doing all the readings, I'm gonna fail, or I'm gonna get bad grades, and if I get bad grades, I'll get a bad job. And all of these insecurities that I was feeling, I kind of came to realize were just rooted in this fear of not meeting the expectations that this society has started to place on all of us. So either I'm disappointed in myself because I'm not meeting these expectations, or I'm meeting the expectations and it's a lot of work, and I'm like scared that eventually I'll burn out and get tired because it's sort of unrealistic to continue to meet all of these expectations. So after I made sort of that, like, once it clicked that a lot of the expectations that exist, or that a lot of the expectations and pressures that I was putting on to myself, like, I've had the best parents in the world. They've never been ones to tell me what classes to take, how well to do in school. They've only ever said that they're proud of me. And yet still I was disappointed in myself. But at the same time, I knew I was trying my hardest, but I still felt guilty. I still felt like I should be doing more. So I started to wonder, why am I telling myself I should be doing more? You know, what can I even be doing more? And where are these messages coming from? If it's not coming from my parents, and if it's not really coming from myself deep down, because I know I'm trying my best, then where is it coming from? And it's coming from, you know, the movies, the media, just the general society, these messages that, you know, try to tell you that if you're struggling to make ends meet, it's not because things are rough and food is expensive and rent is expensive and we're not getting paid enough for the work that we're doing. No, it's not because of that. It's because, did you know you could go deliver Uber, like, you could do Uber food deliveries? Or, you know, you could be doing this get rich quick scheme? Or, like, if you're struggling to make ends meet, it's not because, yeah, it's difficult to make ends meet these days, but it's because you're not grinding. You're not on that mindset. You're not doing what you could be doing. And, you know, if you're sitting around at home and you're watching TV, you're actually really dumb, because I know people who are 24 who have Lamborghinis, and, you know, you could be doing that too. And essentially, I realized, like, I'm hearing these messages constantly. I'm seeing this on TikTok, on Facebook. That's kind of everything I go on. But I just think in general on YouTube, I guess, there's just like these narratives that exist to sort of convince people that if they're not rich, or if they don't have all of the material possessions they wish they had, it's not a question of, it's just we're living in a world where having those things is very difficult now. It's instead a question of, you could be doing more. You could be doing better. Why aren't you doing that? It's all on you. And I'm like starting to notice that I was beating myself up a lot for expectations that I didn't even hold to be important, and that my parents didn't even hold to be important. And, you know, I was just wondering, like, why? And then when I figured out that the reason is because rich people who make money off of the work of workers, you know, it's in their interest for me to believe that I should be making them more money. It's in their interest for me to beat myself up if I'm not able to do that. And it's in their interest for me to point the finger at myself rather than point the finger at them. And I don't know, once I realized that, and I realized, like, this is all BS, this is all this big kind of like joke, and I've been so miserable, even though, you know, I've accomplished my dreams. I'm living in the best city that I've ever like stepped foot in. The people here are so cool. There is so much fun to be had in Montreal. But how come I'm not having any? And that's because I was feeling too guilty every time I was, or even when I was taking the night off, I was sitting there beating myself up because I was thinking, like, you could be doing better. You're just sad because you don't have the grades that you wish you had. And then you're watching, you know, your shows on Netflix. I'm watching Sister Wives right now. Like, when you were talking about a waste of time there, that's really, it does not get worse than that. But I just mean, I would sit there thinking, like, you could be getting better grades if you maybe put aside the Sister Wives and just like actually did your readings. And then I would start feeling bad about all that type of stuff. Okay. Anyways, my point is just that, like, what is my point? Oh yeah. Basically my point is that, like, while I was even just trying to distract myself because, yeah, life is hard and I needed a break, I wasn't fully relaxing or actually letting myself enjoy that break because I was feeling guilty thinking that this break maybe is standing in the way of me accomplishing my goals. So then I started to put into question, like, what are my goals realistically? What is it that I'm trying to achieve? And is this break actually standing in the way? And then I realized, like, I don't really need perfect grades to graduate law school. And I've been telling everybody left, right, and center that all I need is to pass. And so I thought, like, realistically, I don't really need to be working any harder in my program. Also, I hate it. And I've come to terms with being at peace with hating it. And I think for so many months, I was just like, what's wrong with you for hating this program? You can't hate this. This has been your life's purpose for so long. If you hate this, then what do you love? And, you know, I was just so lost. And then I realized that all of these things throughout high school, I was telling you guys about curling yearbook, you know, the student body government, like student movement stuff that I was doing in my undergrad, all these things that I was doing sort of with this goal in mind that one day that will make me the perfect candidate to finally end up going to law school. those things actually are the things that I was constantly looking back on, telling everybody about, being so grateful that I actually did. And I'm like, I'm actually, yeah, so happy that I did all those things. But then I started to wonder, in the moment, I never really fully enjoyed doing all of those things. Of course, I look back and I think, yeah, that was really fun being on the yearbook committee. But at the time, it was so much work, or at least it felt like so much work. It felt like so much pressure. It felt almost like an obligation because I wasn't doing it for my own self. I was doing it for a resume, and I was doing it to be this perfect candidate. And, you know, of course, sometimes people, like, you definitely, life is a balance. There's obligations you have to do. But I mean, looking back, I realized, no. Those were not like the pieces I needed to get into my dream school. Instead, those were things that I should have seen in and of themselves as activities that would bring me my own fulfillment. Instead of thinking I'm doing all of this thing so that some random person is going to look at a piece of paper and think, yeah, we want her in this program. Instead, I should just do those things because it's really fun to go curling and to throw some rocks and to hear the little clicking noise and to see it all happen. And you're like, wow, that's a fun sound. Like, you know, instead of doing that, I was at curling thinking, gosh, I should be doing homework. Gosh, I'm so stressed, or I'm behind on all of these readings. And the reality is that when I was in that period of sadness, I was looking back on those with fond memories, grateful that I had done that. And so again, I realized, like, there's some disconnect there. There's me living for the future and then looking back on my past, but somehow I'm not actually able to just enjoy my present. And I was just, what is the missing key? How do I go about enjoying my present? And honestly, I feel like the answer is just by doing those things that bring you personal fulfillment, and then by not feeling the guilt that I was always attaching to it, or the obligation, or the feeling that I'm doing this for anyone else other than myself. So, like, this right here, me talking on air, I'm not necessarily getting much out of it other than just, you know, a somehow platform and uninterrupted, you know, inner monologue type of thing. But this is bringing me personal fulfillment. This is checking that box that when I was a little kid thinking, like, I would love to live in Montreal. It'd be so cool to just have, like, a show on college radio station. And yeah, I want to be that girl. And I was just, like, so excited about that. But when I finally got here, when I finally realized that it takes the time, I was thinking to myself, like, what is the point? Why am I signing up for a radio station? Like, what am I going to get out of this that's going to help me in my future career? Because I was just thinking, maybe I don't like McGill, but maybe I still have to tie everything to this kind of bigger future. I've started to realize, like, that is really not the case. This whole future, who knows what it's going to look like? At people who watch the news, or even people who just look around, you know, we're seeing things that are getting, like, worse and worse, and everybody has this sort of, like, fear, this sort of burden that either you notice that the world is kind of crap and it's bothering you and you feel sad and, like, you feel kind of maybe helpless for the people who are the most vulnerable, the people who are on the front lines getting affected by these issues first. So either you're walking around and you're seeing those issues and it's taking some type of toll on you and it's hurting your heart in some type of way and, you know, you have to cope somehow, or you're sort of, like, not even trying to think about those people and you're going about your day just immediately trying to distract yourself and you're immediately wearing those blinders. I kind of think in both of those situations, though, people are still having a hard time, like, sleeping at night. And I feel like when people eventually realize that, you know, these systems of oppression that exist in our society, they're affecting us all in different ways, but it's the same systems that are affecting us all, and our struggle is the same. And instead of distracting ourselves and instead of trying to cope, and, you know, some people coping trying to cope in healthier or non-healthier ways, maybe we should just try to enlighten ourselves, try to figure out what it is that we could be doing to solve these issues, rather than just being complacent about it. I'm saying this because I'm seeing so many people think that, like, the world is just getting worse and worse and worse, and nobody has a solution, and so nobody even wants to try. And I think that that's a shame because, you know, all throughout history, there's, like, history has only ever progressed when people have started to question their state. They've started to question, yeah, this is the way things are right now, and it's really not the best, but why does it need to be this way? Can it be different? And these things that I keep hearing in law school constantly are arguments when I try to point out injustice, arguments saying, well, what's the alternative? Well, what's, you know, what else can we do? Well, you know, this would, people who are just constantly not trying to move forward, not even trying to discuss it. They're always just trying to shut the conversation down right away by saying that's unrealistic. Or, you know, if you're saying, hey, that's oppression, these people are getting screwed over by the choices you're making, the immediate response is always like, well, people are always going to be oppressed. People are always going, there's always going to be someone at the top. There's always going to be, you know, people exploiting other people. So why are you so mad about it? Just get over it. Just don't take life so seriously. And you know what? Like, I just can't make peace with living that kind of life. And I think that the depression and the sadness and the darkness that I was feeling for all of those months was because I was trying to find peace with that, trying to maybe fit into this world and this system where I wasn't, you know, affected by these issues, or it wasn't causing me pain that these things were happening. So either I was saying, okay, maybe I just have to accept the world that I live in, or maybe I need to kind of like change it. But then being in law school, having all of the readings get hard, having, you know, not meeting my expectations in terms of getting the grades I was necessarily wanting, all of these different little things were starting to quiet me down and make me feel like I had nothing to say. That, you know, I could have an opinion if I actually got to doing all of my readings, but I haven't because life is hard and I have other things on my mind and I can't focus and I'm not interested in doing the readings. And so, yeah, you know, keep your mouth shut. You have got nothing to say. And you're not the first person who's going to be pointing out all of these injustices. So it doesn't need to come from you. And, you know, I was telling myself all of these things and then I wasn't feeling fulfilled. I wasn't feeling good about myself. And I wasn't, you know, falling asleep at night. And I'm realizing that so many people that I know are having a hard time sleeping at night because they're just feeling like they're not meeting these expectations. And I'm realizing now that these expectations are kind of stupid. And these expectations exist so that they quiet us. They exist to keep us all complacent. They exist so that we focus on our own failures and our own inaptitude rather than, yeah, pointing the finger at the real villain, the one that's actually causing, or the ones that are actually causing all of the struggle that we're all living in. And sure, like my mamera's constantly saying, you know, it won't change. Well, you know, that's always going to exist. Maybe that's the case, but maybe we don't have to be complacent. Maybe we will always continue to exist in a world where there's dominators and there's dominated. But as the dominated, we can maybe just start complaining about it a little bit more. Because I'm starting to realize that these narratives that exist about you're just lazy, you're just a complainer, nobody wants to be around someone who's constantly complaining. The thing is that, like, when I'm complaining about something, that's not me making myself angry. That's me feeling empowered, because I think everybody feels this anger and everybody feels this frustration at the world. But because nobody's talking about it, people are just sort of like dealing with these burdens by themselves. And then I've noticed that the more you talk about it, the more you meet others who are agreeing and that say, yeah, you're right, that is messed up. That burden starts to feel a little bit less heavy. And so I guess what I've started to notice is that when I was just sitting there wondering, you know, what is my purpose in life? How do I make it through law school? How do I sit here in the belly of the beast of capitalism and just continue to, you know, read case after case where the law is siding on the side of the dominators? How do I make peace with myself? And how do I fall asleep at night being in that system, being a cog in that machine? And to be honest, it was taking forever for me to finally figure out how do I make peace with that. And I think now that the way you make peace with it is by seeing it for what it is. Understanding that, you know, this is a messed up system and that life is unpredictable. And, you know, we are all just monkeys doing a little dance for the rich. And they're sitting up there in their big castles, in their big mansions. They're taking, you know, 10-minute flights to space with their friends. They're sending Teslas to space so that it could be, you know, space garbage, more pollution. All these, like, rich, they're sitting there watching us tear ourselves apart, watching us, you know, beat ourselves up over expectations that they've placed on us. And they're laughing because they get to still be happy, enjoy all the luxuries of life, while we sit there and struggle and then feel guilty when we're trying to enjoy ourselves. So that was like a huge realization for me, figuring out that taking the time to actually sit there and enjoy myself, that's how I say kind of like a big F you to the systems of oppression. By having, you know, a phone call with my mamere and spending the afternoon talking to her about whatever and, you know, feeling good about that, feeling like I miss my mamere and I want to hear how she's doing. Even though how she's doing isn't going to make me more money, it's still fulfilling. And it took me so long to kind of realize that the goal in life is not money. And, you know, you hear these sort of messages all throughout. I mean, I'm definitely not the first person to have heard that, but it didn't resonate with me until I started sort of realizing that the only reason I'm told to value money is because because I'm living with this fear that one day I'll run out of it, or I'm, you know, told to value money because money is what keeps the wheels moving, or, you know, you keep being told that that's just, it is what it is. You value money because money makes the world go round. But we're starting to see cracks in that system where people can be working their entire lives and people could be doing, you know, quotation marks, everything right. Or, you know, they could be making all of the right choices. They could be putting all the money away. Not to say that you shouldn't be doing all those things. All I mean is that people can be doing technically every single thing right, and we still live in an unpredictable world where a global pandemic can hit and shut down your business, where a natural disaster can come through and completely wreck a whole town. And, you know, there's constant examples, and we're seeing more and more every year, of just the unpredictability of life, the unpredictability of this system we're working in. And I think that so many people are seeing that, and so many people are like letting it get to them and coping in maybe unhealthy ways. When I start seeing people who abuse substances, or people who get very depressed and that just don't, they just kind of give up. People who are violent and angry and, yeah, like just aggressive towards others. I'm starting to see that all of these are ways that people are coping with their feeling of inaptitude. And I'm realizing that none of us are actually incapable. All of us are actually making the world go round and doing all of the work and, you know, filling all of these jobs and working so hard, and nobody is getting the celebration or the praise that they deserve for doing those things. So that's kind of my whole point for this little segment in this hour, is that I just wanted to sort of spread the message that if you're able to survive throughout the day, if you're able to kind of like wake up and answer all of your material needs and your desires, so feed yourself and have a, like, you know, some type of shelter, if you're able to have food in your belly and shelter and clothes and you're clean and, you know, you survived the day, and if you do that while not stepping on the backs of other people, then I'm here to say that you deserve a round of applause, because that, just that, surviving without stepping on the back of other people, it's starting to be harder and harder. And I think that there's narratives that are being pushed through that are trying to convince, like, vulnerable people, or they're trying to convince all of the masses who feel like, what's the point? What do I do? They're trying to convince you that you can't actually make it through life without hurting other people. You just have to accept that some people are going to get burned. You just don't think about it. Be complacent. You know, there isn't a world where nobody is oppressed. And so when you sit there and you try to make it through the day, I'm here to say that by not hurting other people and by surviving, you're proving those people wrong. And you should be proud. And I'm also here to say that it's possible to not hurt others. Oh, real quick, because I have 5 minutes. I think I have time to say this. I think maybe it's important to mention, too, that, like I said, money is so unpredictable. Money can be pulled away from you at any minute. But I was starting to wonder, like, what can you count on, or what should you invest your energy in? If you can't invest your energy in working and money, then what should you invest your energy in? And again, I'm not the first person to say this, but I think I figured it out. Here's the deal. Love. Love is the point of life. Love is the reason we exist. Love is what remains after all of these crises hit. You know, I went to the old brewery Mission, OBM. It's like a homeless shelter. I did this with my class as like a field trip during our orientation week in January. And luckily enough, I was signed up for the people that went to OBM. And I heard some people mention when it came down to homelessness that their work is actually very discouraging. And although every single year they offer more and more services, they put more and more people in hotel rooms or hospitals, homes and stuff. They were saying that it's still very tough work because every year they're helping more people, but every year they're seeing that homelessness is continuing to grow. And so the question or the answer is not just why are these people homeless and what can we do? Let's put them into a house. They're plain and simple. Someone's homeless, we'll put a roof over their head, no longer homeless, boom, we solved the issue. They kept pushing that homelessness and even substance abuse and mental health issues. All of these things are just the result of a greater alienation with life. That somehow there's this box that exists that you got to get up, do the exact same job every single day. Don't question life. It's hard, but please don't complain. Nobody likes a complainer. You know, all these boxes sort of exist to keep you quiet, to keep you oppressed. And the people who are on the streets are the people that somehow this system doesn't work for them. And they're the most vulnerable. And what I found out too is that, or not found out, but what they mentioned and pointed out, which I thought like, hell, that's exactly what it is. They were saying that really the only thing truly that separates me from somebody who's homeless is that in a situation where something happens and I lose everything, I have still somehow maintained the love and maintained the social support that existed. That means that if anything happens, I have a couch to sleep on. Like, that's the only difference. And so the people who are on the streets, those are people who have nobody to bring them in for some greater reason. And it's not that they made bad decisions. It's not all on their shoulders, just like it's not all on anybody else's shoulders when you're tired at the end of the day and you think life freaking sucks and I'm tired and I don't like waking up so early. None of that, I don't think, should be on our shoulders. And so I think my biggest sort of message to push and something I want everybody to kind of sit with is just, it is possible to make it through and to survive without stepping on the backs of anyone else. And if you're able to do that, you deserve a round of applause and you deserve to fall asleep at night feeling like you accomplished something, because far too many people, I think, are living with the guilt of not being enough and not, or maybe one day not being enough. But if you can continue to invest the effort into the people that you love, if you can continue to spread that happiness and spread that joy and just make it through the day without hurting people, then at least if something happens and you lose everything, at least you've invested in that love. And then, so that's like a purely selfish reason, but I honestly do think that that love does bring so much more fulfillment once you realize that. Yeah, love, sounds so funny. Like, I know I'm not the only person to have said these things, but it really is all that matters. And it really does bring a lot of fulfillment. And it doesn't have to be love that capitalism sort of shows you in movies that you need to love. It can be friendships. It can be the love between you and a pet. It can be the love between you and a good novel. But as soon as you just sort of fulfill that love for your own self without feeling like, well, what's the point? How am I making money by doing this? Once you fully detach yourself from that and you just seek out what you love, pursue your passions, pursue your interests, and you do that and enjoy it wholeheartedly, you know, while still paying your bills and getting through the day. And yeah, then you deserve a round of applause. And I think that that really is the point of life. So yeah, thank you all so much for listening to me go off for this long hour. I had such a nice time. Bye.
Welcome to CKUT 90.3 FM. The show is a part of the Transforming the Airways, founding by Radio Meters, a residency for trans creative of color to create their own radio show. It's your girl, Miss Dupre Latour, and you are listening, you bet her. And today I have two special guests, not two, but three special guests. Like, oh my God. I have one of my mentor. I can call her mentor because, like, she's the reason why I'm here today, becoming like an activist for BIPOC and this LGBTQIA+. So please, an ovation for Camester. Hello, gorgeous. Oh my God, I'm so happy you made it.
I'm happy to see you. I'm too happy to be here. And thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you for coming.
Merci beaucoup.
You came from Quebec City.
Yeah. It's not that. People think that Quebec City is like from Dubai. Like, it's 2 hours. That's fine. That's fine. I'm okay. I'm used to it. But I'm really glad to be here.
I'm so happy.
For you. So I'm glad for the discussion. I'm really excited for
this. And also, I have one of the gorgeous girl in Montreal. I just met her like a few months ago, and she's pretty and she's so amazing. Victoria, hello.
Hey,
how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm very happy to be
You're
here.
You're pretty good, and you are pretty too.
Thank you.
Okay. And I have also, last and not least, like my partner business. And they are so cute. And this is my amazing Casper. Hello, Mr. Casper.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm good. Oh, sorry. I'm
okay. He's like, okay.
So listen, it's morning time, okay, for me. So
it's okay, no problem. So okay, so we're gonna start with you, Camester. Like, for the people who doesn't know who is